Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Welcome everyone here to the Thriving Marriage Podcast. I'm Heather Choate with Mark Johnston. How's it going?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself? How are you doing today, Heather?
Real good. And today we're talking about what to do when your spouse won't talk to you. And I know this is a very common situation for many people. We're going to share what not to do, why this happens, where your spouse is at a place they don't want to talk to you, and then what to do about it. Before we get to that, though, we're going to go to our client win of the week. Mark, you want to share this one?
Yeah, would love to. So this is from an anonymous group member. They're saying, my wife has been staying with me at my apartment since we had a discussion on the phone about a month ago. I won't go into too much detail about the conversation, but I will say that during the conversation was the first time that I got her to finally open up and talk to me about our separation without fighting. For the most part, every day has been great. And there's certain parts that we wanted to underline, really emphasize. So here she says, she slowly started to open up more and more as the days have gone by and her choice of words have changed as well. There hasn't been so much of her. And I kind of, her and I kind of talks like there was before. Now she's using terms like us, our, or we a lot more often. I've been going through a lot of the program for roughly 2 months now. And about a week ago, I took advice from my coach and finally asked my wife if there were some needs of hers that still need to be met, or if there's something that I could be doing differently that she may want me to do. She stated that she has already noticed a lot of changes in me that she longed for quite some time, and that I should just continue doing what I'm doing. I feel like this is a good spot. Now, I wish I could go in and talk to this person, be like, okay, well now let's actually capitalize on this. And let's like actually make sure that we solidify this position. But you know, this is a really big win just in and of itself that they have gotten to this point and that they're at that moment where his wife is saying, okay, this is good. This is okay. And we can keep going forward. Still a lot to be done. Just from reading that, I can see that there's still a lot to be done, but it's a good win.
Yeah, it is. Awesome. And I can see some of you watching us live here in our Facebook group. So welcome. Give us a thumbs up. Let us know that you can see and hear us okay. That always helps us know that the tech is working correctly. And then let us know how much are you and your spouse communicating right now. Put it in the chat or in the comments if you're watching the replay or even if you're here live. Do you talk every day? Do you talk two times a week, one or two times a month? Or maybe you haven't talked to each other for several months. This is one of the indicators that we look at to see how likely a relationship is to turn around. And so go ahead and leave your answer there, and then we will give you some feedback on what you can do to increase some communication and get things going in a good direction. So the reality is, unfortunate fact here, is that most of us in this audience, right, you're at a point where your spouse really isn't talking to you. Maybe they've blocked you. Maybe they just say, I don't want to talk to you anymore, or maybe things are just very surface level. You can talk about maybe the kids or, you know, the divorce even, but you can't talk about the relationship. And, you know, Mark and I, we're not going to sugarcoat this. This is a very difficult situation. And it generally means that there have been some bigger problems leading up to this for an extended period of time. Now, does that mean that everything's over? Absolutely not. Does it mean it's going to be more challenging to tackle? Yeah, it is. But most of our clients start at a place where their spouse is resistant to communicating. Right, Mark? We see this all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So we're new to High Thrive Coaching, to the Thriving Marriage and our PATH program. We generally take on cases where your spouse is not willing to work with you. They don't want to work things out. They do want a divorce and they aren't willing to really open up and talk about things. So let's first dive into, Mark, and understand, how does this happen? Like, how does a relationship get to this point where your spouse is resistant to communicating with you?
Well, it's best to start with that perhaps less severe situation where maybe this isn't a huge issue and maybe this is more of a behavior that's short-lived or something that's meant to just try to calm down and back off a bit. So, you know, especially if there's been a recent fight or a very big problematic event that happened recently, that's a, you know, if something like that has happened and your partner isn't talking to you, that's very likely to be the culprit. Like, here's this thing that's happened and the situation, what's going on there, there's very likely a lot of emotions running through everyone and they just might be emotionally flooded at the moment. They might be very sad, upset, angry, something, whatever it is, they're having a difficult time being present with constructive communication right now. And while that's not great, it probably means that communication may be possible once everyone's cooled off. But this is like usually when I get a client in that says my partner won't speak with me, they won't communicate with me, it's usually not this. It's usually not this temper, unless they're really panicking and this is very different from other situations. Usually if they're saying that, you know, like this, the communication is not happening at all, it's usually some other reason here. One of the other reasons might be is perhaps there's just been a lot of resistance from you when there has been communication over the years. In my experience, people will shut down and they'll give up when communication is given a whole lot of resistance. And what that might look like, when I'm talking about resistance, I'm talking about perhaps your partner's come to you and you haven't been interested or excited about the conversation. Or maybe you've been reasoning out why some of their plans aren't really feasible or won't work. Maybe you've not been hearing them. Maybe you've been talking over them, not paying attention to what they're saying. There's a lot of different things that could be happening here that looks like resistance. Other examples might be unwillingness to talk about things on a deep level, or maybe there's a lot of judgment and blame and criticism. A lot of this, though, can be a big culprit here when we're looking at communication being shut down, especially if it's been repeated a lot over the years. If it's become a little bit more the norm, even more so. Lastly, you know, I'm looking at like what people do in order to protect themselves when things are getting really overwhelming. The last reason, like I'm talking about here, is emotional flooding. And I kind of mentioned that briefly a bit for that first reason, like if there's been a big fight. You know, emotional flooding is just when things have become too much. I especially see, you know, if there's a lot of other stressors in a person's life, if there is a lot of tension with a couple, this emotional flooding, it gets to be too much and people start shutting down. Maybe it's very consistent distress. Maybe there's been a little bit too much leaning on your partner to solve your problems. Maybe it's that a lot of conversation has been revolving around complaints or what's going wrong. So we have like all these different reasons here, Heather, and possible explanation. Now I'm going to say that this doesn't necessarily cover everything, but like I do think that this covers a lot. You know, and some people, they're just going to simply stop talking at all, especially if having conversation is just going to be too much. Like a lot of things I look at when this is going on is just trying to get to some realization that your partner has their own life, their own stress apart from you, and it just might add up to too much. So a lot of this is looking into where are these areas of overwhelm and perhaps what can we do about that. But anyways, I'm kind of rambling a bit here. There's, like I said, this is not comprehensive by any means, but these are, I would say, the most frequent reasons why communication has shut down. Do you see any other big culprits here that we want to look at, perhaps?
Yeah, I think that just kind of generally, and I've heard you say this over and over throughout the years, Mark, is that it's become unrewarding to open up, to communicate for whatever reason, right? And over in the chat, I'm seeing, you know, that a lot of you guys are saying that you experience this exact thing, right? Robert says, we barely communicate at all, maybe a few words every couple of days. Usually it's just about the kids. Or it's only about bills and him still wanting to leave. He's convinced himself that his affair with a female soldier while he was deployed is because I didn't trust him, things like that. And so these are some reasons why communication is broken down. I'd love to hear from you guys in the comments from what Mark shared. What do you think are the reasons, right? Is it these unresolved issues that keep going on? Is it because of this emotional flooding, right? What are the patterns that you guys are noticing that are creating this situation for you? Another comment here from Nicholas: my wife won't even reply and I've tried some techniques. What can I do to get her to open up? She's been having an affair and said, I'm dating him now, it is over. Yeah, we'll definitely go into that. She said she doesn't feel comfortable or safe around me and thinks I appear happier without her, and she doesn't feel loved, wanted, or understood. So that's some really good feedback from the comment there from Michael, right? She is giving you some feedback. I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel safe, right? And those are some indicators that this has not become a rewarding situation. When we feel discomfort, when we don't feel trusting or secure, then it's not very rewarding to want to communicate, right? So that's exactly what we face all the time. Thoughts on that, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I can relate to this a little bit. Now, I'm not going to say that my wife, Jen, and I have, we've never really gotten to the point where we don't talk. I can say that we have sometimes gotten into situations where we're more reluctant to talk, or maybe we have a tendency to sweep certain subjects under the rug. But like, I can relate to a lot of what these comments are saying. You know, I know for in my marriage, Jen and I tend to kind of have this mindset at times when we're not really thinking well, when we say, okay, isn't it just easier not to bring up whatever subject it is and not have to deal with this problem? Let's just sweep it aside until it's become too much. I mean, I know this is very different from cases where communication isn't going on, but I can imagine that sort of scenario building and building or extending into other topics, especially if she and I did not work on our communication or did not try to have these problem-solving sort of situations here where we do work through things.
Right. In my marriage, communication tends to shut down due to some communication patterns that we picked up from childhood, from our own families. In my family, you didn't talk about things. You just kind of set them under the rug until everything blew up. And then it would be very explosive, very volatile, lots of blaming, and never taking accountability that I hurt you. It's your fault that I hurt you. That was kind of what was modeled to me. And so I brought that into the marriage. And Ben was on the opposite end of the spectrum where his, you know, he grew up in a family that did communicate about things, but at a certain level, when it wasn't safe enough, you just shut down. And it was better just to withdraw and stonewall and like pull away than to say something damaging. You can see how both of those patterns, issues are never really resolved. Both of those patterns are not actually healthy and conducive to creating understanding and connection in a relationship, right? And so having worked through those things and understanding that when there's a big blow up, Ben's going to shut down, he's going to pull away, helps me to know what not to do. Okay. And we're going to go into a little bit of what not to do and why here in a little bit, because I've made all these mistakes. I talk to you guys in masterclasses and here on Facebook and YouTube and all the places, right? All the time. And almost always we're making one of these mistakes. And let me know in the chat, what do you tend to do when your partner pulls away? When they cut off communication, when they say, I don't want to talk with you, when they say like some comments here, there's too much anger, there's too much resentment, I don't have interest in connecting with you, right? I don't have time to reconnect with you. I don't feel safe to reconnect with you or open up conversation. So what are some of the things that we see happen here when communication starts to shut down, Mark? And let you know in the chat what you guys do, because I've done all these things myself as well.
The question was, what should we do?
No, what do we see, what people should not do, and why?
Yeah. Well, in terms of what not to do, I see, it kind of depends on the personality, in my opinion. I do, you know, like you mentioned there, you and Ben approach shutting down in very different ways, like either being a little bit more explosive or just shutting down, backing off, stonewalling. In either case, you know, whether your partner is stonewalling or being a lot more explosive when conversations do happen, it can be a mistake to push for communication, especially those that are backing off and stonewalling. If you really hound them, it really kind of intensifies that need to back off. Those type of people who are a little bit more averse to those really heavy, hard conversations. In my opinion, it puts a lot of pressure on things, and it doesn't really lend itself to feeling respected. If you're saying, I don't want to talk, and you're getting really pushed, I will see some people dig their heels in. Further, if you're making a lot of demands, if you demand that they need to talk right now, or if you demand that they should just get over things and, you know, whatever it happens to be. I saw one case not too long ago where a husband had made some mistakes, and his wife wasn't talking with him, and said, well, you need to forgive me and get over it. And he was getting really upset that she wasn't complying with this. And that really just shut down communication even further. Looking further here in terms of what not to do, I see some people try to play games. Sometimes this really appears a lot like manipulation. So they might say, okay, well, fine, if you're not going to talk to me, then I'm not going to talk to you. Or I'm going to try to make them jealous, so then they'll want to come and talk to me. And I really, really recommend against those sort of games that you're trying to manipulate or force your partner into talking to you for some other reason. It just never seems to go well, in my opinion. Heather, what else are we seeing? What else should they not be doing?
I'm even seeing this somewhat in the comments coming here on Facebook, but definitely going into the begging, the pleading, you know, please talk to me, and over apologizing can often take this kind of like desperation of, I'm just apologizing for everything, and you're over apologizing in an attempt to try to get them back, right? But all of this stems from a place of fear, right? And when your spouse, your partner feels that fear, it won't feel safe, and they won't want to open up and talk to you, because they just see that you're coming at them with so much desperation. And so we'll go into this a little bit, is create space for safe communication and make it feel rewarding for them to open up. And then the other thing that we often see is just freezing. Like some people said that here in the chat as well. Like, I didn't know what to do, so I just stopped talking and hope that things would just cool down, or maybe a counselor recommended like a no contact period. And so you end up just kind of doing nothing. And while sometimes a cooling off period can be helpful, generally just having no contact or doing nothing, like, that's not a solution, right? You need to have proactive steps on what to do to bring you back together and to have expectation on how you're going to communicate going forward. So we all know, like, we could have better communication. I've never talked to any couple, even the happiest ones I know of, that are like, can we improve our communication? Yes. It's such an important thing, right? And so many times we're not taught how to communicate, how to set down and recognize the patterns that we grew up with and that we've brought into the marriage, and that the patterns that our spouse grew up with and they brought into marriage, right? And then the patterns that we created together that are really not healthy, they're not functional, and they're creating more of this disconnection. Most people are in a state of somewhere along that spectrum, right? And so I want you to give yourself some grace that you haven't known how to communicate, because very few people actually do. And it's a continual skill to learn. But the good news is that you can learn it. There are things that you can do right now. More often than not, our clients, their spouse does not want to talk with them about the marriage. And pushing them to try to talk about the marriage is exactly what Mark said. It's going to backfire. It's going to show them that you're not respecting what they're saying. You're not trying to understand them, and you're not making things safe for them. You're just pushing your own will, right? Your own desires on them. And that really comes from, whether we mean to or not, a very self-centered perspective, right? And I get it. Like, I felt this way myself. Like, you're pulling away from me. I'm going into fear. I'm going to do anything I can to like make you come back to me and try to get you back. And it just does not work. So we're going to talk about what we do and how we help our clients that go from very little to no communication to, you know, very closed off communication to getting things open, because I know that's exactly why you guys are here. So Mark, what do we do about this?
Well, let's start with what I think is the most important part of opening up communication, and that is creating a safe space for communication, what we would call like creating a safe harbor. And I think about this almost, I really like the metaphor of a safe harbor. Like here is like the stormy sea outside of the harbor and everything's kind of all wild and rough on the sea. But you come into the harbor and it's meant to be calm because here's this space that encompasses all the water such that you can bring things in and it can be much more of a calm, safe space. For relationships, for conversation, I think the best way to kind of start all that is really applying the principles that Carl Rogers talks about. This is talking about empathy, authenticity, and positive regard. So just to clear up what we mean by those things, I think for, you know, we talk about this a lot. I mean, this is a principle that Heather, you and I bring up in a lot of different cases, but I always think it's good to review a little bit. So empathy here is talking a lot about having some understanding for another person's emotions and point of view. I do think that having a high amount of empathy within a relationship is really the cornerstone that allows communication to be free-flowing and open. Authenticity, I do think it is important for one to be authentic and for you to, you know, even if your partner is the one that's not really sharing a whole lot, for you to be open with your own thoughts and feelings and demonstrating how even you sharing some potentially hard things might be okay. It's a lot about being open and allowing your partner to be open in turn. Now, you know, a caveat to that, I think I mentioned this. It was on my mind because I've actually watched this movie several times recently. I think, you know, Heather, I asked you if you had seen it, but this is turning into one of my favorite movie quotes that I've seen recently. This was from The Glass Onion. When, it's over on Netflix, if you want to go see it. But in terms of being authentic, you know, sometimes we think of being authentic as being real, and sometimes that can be a bit harsh. And one of the main characters in the movie The Glass Onion, he comments to someone else who has that kind of mindset. He turns to them and says, okay, it's a dangerous thing to mistake speaking without thought for speaking the truth, or in this case, being authentic. And so that's not what being authentic is about. It's not about being thoughtless or callous. It's, you know, I think in a romantic long-term relationship, it is important to have tact with your authentic openness. Lastly, you know, we have positive regard, and it's a lot about the kind of story that you create around your partner, the kind of beliefs that you hold about them and about the relationship. It's about trying to find the positive intentions behind their actions and words, even when that might not be apparent. And I think these things here, these three items, contribute a whole lot towards creating a safe harbor or safe environment for communication. Now, does this automatically make your partner want to talk with you? No, I don't think that's the case. But I do think that this needs to be present for there to start being some repair and to allow for them to open up. What else do we have here, Heather? What else should people be doing to get their spouse to talk with them?
Yeah, so a big thing is like learn to say yes, to try to make the conversation engaging and rewarding. We talked about at this point, it's probably not very rewarding for your partner to share things, otherwise they would be, right? And so this is where a lot of you can start, and it's looking for ways to join them in maybe their goals or their interests, find ways to support them in what they actually are wanting. And we often talk about like making small bids for commitment, right? And this can be small bids for conversation as well. And one of the worst things that you can do if your spouse is really checked out, they're really not wanting to talk to you about things, is to continue to push talking about the relationship. They're not there yet, and you're not there yet. And so if you keep trying to push talking about the relationship, and I'm seeing this over in the chat a lot, which is why I wanted to bring it up, you're not at the place yet where you can talk about the relationship. It's like, I often compare this to like a medical patient, right? And maybe they have brain cancer and they need to have an operation, but they're in cardiac arrest. You go into the ER, are they going to operate on the brain tumor right now? Or are they going to get you out of cardiac arrest first, right? So it's like your relationship needs to become stable first. Like that's the first goal of any medical procedure, is to make sure that the patient is stable. And right now you guys are not stable. You have to create some stability in the relationship first before you can go into the deeper issues about the marriage, like the deeper issues of the brain tumor. Okay. So I hope that that analogy kind of makes sense, but we want to start with where you're at. If they're willing to talk about the kids, how can you find goals about the kids that you're both open to discussing? How can you show them some understanding? How can you make that a rewarding, positive experience? How can you show some empathy and have some positive regard in the things that you are able to communicate with? Okay. Be excited about what they're interested in and about them. Look at them from a positive light. If you can flip, and I see it right here in the chat, you know, is that they're saying, you're saying like, they're shut down. They don't love me anymore. They're not willing to talk about things. What if you just started changing that story of they're having a hard time and they feel like they're doing the best thing for themselves. And I want to show that I'm willing to support them in that, right? What if you just started flipping everything around? For me, like we talk about this all the time, Mark, like be very careful about your assumptions that you're making about your partner and where they're really coming from. So if you make a negative assumption and say, you know, they just totally shut me down today and I put myself out there and they don't care. What if you turn it around and say, okay, they shut me down and that is hurtful to me, but is there another way of looking about why they did that rather than my story of they don't care, right? And when you start to create a new story, you actually start to create a new reality. And you start to see things in a different way. And you open up your mind to actually understand where your partner might be coming from, right? They might not be shutting you down because they don't care. They might be shutting down you down because they're scared and they don't know what else to do, right? Or they might be shutting you down because they had an awful day and they just can't handle it right now, right? There's so many other reasons for what they might be doing. And then, you know, really asking questions, and understanding comes from asking questions. So it depends. Like this is one of the challenges that Mark and I have when we do these podcasts. It's because where you are at is so unique for you, right? So if your spouse is like completely on, like, I'm about to get divorced, I don't want to talk to you about anything, versus, you know, I'm willing to kind of talk about the marriage, but, you know, I don't want to go too deep, versus, you know, we're just friends and I love you, but I'm not in love with you. Like all of those are very different kind of situations. But the more that you can ask really open questions without any pressure or without any pushing them or any agenda, but you just want to understand them, that's going to give you more clarity on where they're really coming from. It's going to help them feel heard, help them feel respected. And the more interest that you show in them, eventually they will start to show interest in you. But for most people, that's not going to be right off the bat. So trying to paint like a bit of a picture that no matter where you are, the same principles apply, but there are some things that are appropriate when your relationship is stable to talk about. And there are some things that are not appropriate to talk about when your relationship's not stable, including the relationship. Okay. And that may seem a little backwards or like weird to us because we want to talk about the relationship. We want to solve it, but I promise you pushing for it right now is going to absolutely backfire. So that's just a little bit of perspective into that. Any thoughts on that, Mark, and why this really doesn't work when we keep pushing?
Well, and when Heather's talking about like talk, you know, try to avoid talking about the relationship, I think, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think what you're really mean is like really trying to push for commitment right in the moment. And certainly like there can be a lot of use to talk about different aspects of the relationship at all. But like you're saying, it all kind of depends on the situation. And like here we are, we're saying, okay, what do you do when your spouse isn't communicating with you? And what we're trying to convey here is there's a lot of different reasons why that might be happening. And depending on the different reasons, the solution might be wildly different. You know, I could foresee some situations where a spouse has gone quiet, but they really want their partner to put in a lot of effort and perhaps make a little bit more of a push. Or maybe it's because things have become so disconnected and apathetic that there's just not really any interest in communicating anymore. Or maybe it's something else entirely. So we try to cover as many solutions and we try to cover as much as we can. But yeah, I would agree that what Heather said in terms of leaving out a lot of the pressure is just generally a good piece of advice in these situations. In allowing, you know, much like a new relationship, allowing your partner to build up their own interest without pressure is just generally a good thing. So yes. Now, with that said, like I was just mentioning here, a lot of these are just good principles for opening up communication. I do occasionally get into situations here, Heather, where simply like making things very engaging and rewarding and being very clear about intentions and creating a safe space isn't enough, right? We get it. We have that. Actually, it's not too infrequent where we run into this, but it's always good to check in on these more basic principles. So I did want to talk a little bit about, you know, what do we do if this isn't working? Right? Are we good to move on in that space? Let us know if like you've tried some of that and none of that's worked, because I do want to hear from all of you and see if you're in that same boat. So Heather, what do you think is going on if none of that's working, that creating that safe environment and making things more engaging and being very positive with your intentions and leaving out the pressure? Why would that not be working, do you think?
Well, generally, it's because like a narrative has been so built up in your spouse, right? They have this belief about you. They have their justifications of why they're doing it. And it's either because they want to protect themselves from pain, or they don't want to feel so guilty about what they're doing because they know that it's painful and it's hard. And so they create the story that it's your fault and that they're having this affair and they're going to this other person because of how you treated them, or that divorce will be happier and easier than being married with you, or that they don't love you anymore. So if there's not love, then why be married at all? I'd rather be on my own, or I'd rather find someone else that deserves me, blah, 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 right? So we all have this very strong narrative that we're coming up against. And so there's that combined with patterns. And I talked a little bit about the patterns I was in for many of my married years. I've been married almost 18 years now. And the first at least 12 or something were very dysfunctional patterns. And we kind of became functional in our dysfunction, if that makes sense. We kind of made it work for a while until it just didn't work anymore. And that tends to happen, right? And so we have to look at what those underlying patterns are between you and your spouse. One of the things that we do in our coaching is we look at, okay, what are the patterns? Where are they coming from? And how can we interrupt those patterns so that you can start to do things in a new way? It's going to get your spouse's attention, and you can then start to build up a level of trust as you create newer, healthier patterns between you. And that's going to be very specific for each and every one of you. That's why we work so closely with you one-on-one in our coaching. And if you want a free breakthrough session with us, a marriage analysis session, go ahead, leave a comment, say session. That'll be the word in the comments below, say session. And I'll send you the link where you can book that with us, because we do need to work with you one-on-one to understand what these underlying issues are, what these patterns are, what the story is that your spouse has created about you, so then we can start to change that story. If they just continue to believe, you know, I'm just going to say, you know, Michael or Jennifer or Donna here, if they're going to say, you know, he never listens to me, she doesn't respect me, he doesn't understand what I'm really wanting, I'm not happy with her, right? They're going to continue to see that until we help them let go of that story. And that's exactly what we help you guys do with our PATH process. So it's really important that you don't just simply dive into these solutions, right, without seeking advice and talking with them about possibly implementing some of these solutions, right? And so it's really important to know if these are going to work or not. And that's why we offer that to you guys. That's what we do every single day and what we help our clients get to. So that's kind of like the broad overview of where this is coming from and why some of your attempts might not be working. I did see a comment here. I don't remember who it was. I can't see it anymore on my screen, but a comment was like, I'm using like, I feel statements, or I'm using like, I understand, or, you know, I understand you're hurt and I'm here for you. Why is that still not working? Right. Or I keep, you know, trying to open up things, but she just keeps shutting down. And it's very likely, and I don't know your situation and all those listening, right? But it could very, very likely be that you're still pushing talking about the relationship at the wrong time, or you're trying to solve a problem that you're just simply not ready for. And sometimes I hear like, I saw a couple comments here, like, I keep trying to talk with her, but it's not the right time. She's not ready for it. Well, then you're talking about the wrong things. It's basically what I'm trying to say. Okay. And so what we help you do is find out what are the right things to talk about in your stage, in your situation. What are the conversations that your spouse is open to having? What will they be willing to talk with you about? Because there is always at least something that you can talk about. It just may not be what you want to talk about right now. What you want to talk about right now, pushing that is probably going to keep backfiring. That's why they continue to not want to talk to you. Okay. So I hope that's coming across really clear. It's identifying what can we talk about now? What will be safe? Where can we start to interrupt some of these patterns? Where can I start to demonstrate some empathy, some positive regard, right? Some understanding. And then from there, it will build up. So we kind of have to start slow to go fast. And so that's what we help you with in the one-on-one coaching. Thoughts on that, Mark?
Well, yes. I think Heather's right in a lot of the points that she made. I do want to leave, before we get too far, maybe in a few specific suggestions. If it's gotten to this point where creating a safe space hasn't been working, if really leaving out that pressure or really making things engaging has been working. I like what you said earlier. You're mentioning that a lot of what needs to happen at that point is about breaking some patterns. I want to add on to that. I think another underlying principle here is that, you know, as you mentioned, they've built up, oftentimes when this is the situation, a person has built up this negative story about what's happened and about what's wrong with the relationship. And it really doesn't allow for them to easily approach some constructive conversation. I do think that in many cases, when that's happening, that there is a need to build up some trust. So, you know, I've had a lot of success in these situations when we stop focusing so much on that end goal of like rebuilding the relationship, like you said, where, hey, perhaps we're talking about the wrong subject at the wrong time, and we instead focus on something much more immediate. You know, I want to point out that if you're at this stage, like Heather mentioned, you probably need some one-on-one help. And I wouldn't suggest just diving into any of these next few solutions I'm just going to rattle off without seeking some help first, because they may not be the right solution. Some of them may even potentially drive the situation into a worse state if handled incorrectly. And it really depends on the situation. But like, you know, I know I've, with several of my clients, I get to this point and, you know, we try creating this in this safe environment and we still don't have any communication. So a few things that I've tried with some success. I remember for several clients, it was about sharing thoughts. They would leave these consistent, brief messages, simply sharing thoughts and questions while using a lot of the principles that we talked about. Generally, just being very open and transparent, being overly vulnerable. This can be especially helpful in building up that trust, like I was just talking about. If you are the one creating some vulnerability for yourself first, and you're demonstrating how it can be a safer environment. That's a bit tricky, especially depending on the dynamics of the relationship, but it's something sometimes it's worth exploring. Another one I frequently go to is really calling attention specifically to the resistance. A lot of times we'll talk about like the kids or the divorce or the state of the relationship, and the partner shuts down. We don't ever talk about why they're shutting down specifically, or like really pay attention to the feelings that are going on as they're shutting down. We're so focused on these other topics. Within therapy and whatnot, this is called a here and now conversation, because we're noticing what's going on in the moment here and now, rather than all these other things that are going on around us. I don't think that one really is likely to backfire. It just, you know, I don't think there's any negative aspect to that suggestion. It's just whether it's going to actually produce anything is sometimes questionable. And then lastly, you know, it may need to come down to some boundaries and ultimatums, especially if there's not really a whole lot else going on and there's just been so much resistance and nothing else is working. But at the same time, like, I don't like to just blindly recommend, you know, setting boundaries or having some ultimatums, because I think a lot of people misconstrue what that means, and it can have the potential of making things worse under, if not really executed well. So anyways, like, I hope you're getting what I'm saying here, and there are solutions is what I'm saying, but you really want to get support if living by some of those more basic principles isn't working for you. You really need to get that expert advice, either from us, or I'm not going to pretend we're the only ones out there, from someone else at the very minimum. They might not be as good as us, but, you know, we'll let you make that choice. Anyways, that's what I'm getting at. It's like, there are almost always solutions to this problem. It just may take a little bit more closer examination.
Yeah, thank you. And just to go, like, kind of pull back the curtain here, I have seen Mark use some boundaries with clients in this way with his expertise and have them really heal the situation. I've seen him using sharing thoughts or calling attention to and confronting the lack of communication. And it really helps turn things around. It has to be done the right way. So it's vital that you know what problems you need to solve in the right order. That's one of the most important things that I hope we can convey to you. And that's one of the things that we focus on here with our PATH process. You need to solve the right problem in the right order. Okay. Just like it takes time for a brand new baby relationship to flourish into like this passionate love affair, right? You can't go to the passionate love affair and major commitment on your first date. Okay. So just in the same way, you guys cannot go from 0 to 60 right now. There are baby steps that you need to take along the way that are going to get you to that ultimate goal. So I would love to know from you guys in the chat, what stood out to you today? What do you feel like would be most helpful for you going forward? And where would you love your communication to be in like 3 months from now? Okay. So leave those in the comments. What stood out to you? What do you feel like you need going forward? And where would you love for your marriage and your communication to be in 3 months from now? Now, it doesn't usually take 3 months to get, you know, great communication open. This is actually one of the very first things that we help our clients with. But again, we're going to start small and slow so that then it can eventually go fast. That's the key to success here. I saw a lot of comments, and I'm just going to touch on this really quickly, about affairs. So I see, you know, how do I handle it with a third person involved? My hubby is dealing with two women and it's not open to communication with all of us. It causes problems. And yes, it's okay to ask that. Yeah, thank you. And I saw several other comments as well that as soon as the other person is there or involved, like, all communication just shuts down. And so in this kind of situation, it needs, again, to be handled with care. And when we go into boundaries, that is so vital with affairs. And it's so important that you do them in the right way so that you can be safe and you can start to mend this broken trust between you. So that's just very brief nugget I wanted to throw out there. We do have other podcasts. And of course, in our coaching program, we go deep into training about affairs, how to put in healthy boundaries, how to have healthy communication, how to restore and heal trust. So if you want more help with that, just leave the comma affairs and I'll make sure that we send you podcast and resources on affairs specifically. Okay. All right. So I can't wait to hear where you guys want your communication to be in 3 months from now and what you feel like you need to really move things forward. Let's go to our marriage myth buster. And this one came, I saw this several times, and I think Mark, you've seen it too in the group, about forgiveness is just forgetting. And I actually asked you guys here, what's some of the worst marriage advice that you've ever heard? And I heard several times that you should just forgive and forget. And so, Mark, what does that mean? Forgiveness means forgetting.
Well, yeah. And like you were saying, Heather, we pull these from comments that we either see in the group or from sessions that we have or things like that. And I actually ran into this just not too long ago. So I want to relate a quick story with this. So in this case, they described the situation where there had been, you know, some might call it verbal abuse for the last 6 to 10 months or so when I had talked to them. It had gotten to the point where they had separated, they'd been separated for several months, and things were starting to finally calm down, and I helped them get to the point where they are talking again. One of the issues, however, was this sentiment that there should be forgiveness. And to one of the individuals, that meant forgetting what had happened and simply moving on. And the wife in this case, she's like, well no, you know, we need to work through this, and I'm still feeling hurt. There's going to be forgiveness. And then it kind of sparked up some arguments again. So what I'm getting at is, like, in this case, there was this willingness to move on. And I think this is the case in a lot of situations, that it needed to be a little bit more carefully. The problem, I think, with the idea of forgiveness means forgetting is that it's a bit lopsided. It doesn't really take into consideration the experiences or the feelings of the one who has been hurt. And I think it's a lot more the focus on the one who's looking for forgiveness. Now, this isn't always the case. You know, perhaps there is some desire to sweep things aside and just forget what's happened. But I do think that a couple can really create forgiveness. But in my professional opinion, the ideal situation for forgiveness means that there's an effort to fix the situation that created the need for forgiveness in the first place. Furthermore, if we're going to be able to put things behind us, if we're going to get to that point, it really needs a lot of examination on what has happened, you know, like, and to see whether, you know, forgetting is actually a healthy thing to do. Things like repeated offenses may warrant forgiveness, but perhaps not forgetting. You know, I remember another case some years ago where the wife was coming and talking to me, and her husband had multiple affairs. And each time he would come back and he would ask for forgiveness, and she would forgive him. But at what point does it become unhealthy to say, well, let's forget what happened here? At some point, you know, patterns start emerging, and it's not really healthy to forget what has happened. So I do think that to a certain extent, it's really great for all of us to you know, forgiveness is, I think, it's great. Just, I would say universally, that's a good principle to come to for both parties. But depending on the situation, forgetting may not be a great thing to move towards. I think with time and with some effort to build up trust, absolutely. But otherwise, you know, it can be detrimental. So there we have it.
I agree. Forgiveness is right, something that you do for yourself. But I don't feel like forgetting is actually, like Mark said, very healthy. I feel like we should learn from the painful experiences that we go through and let them become a blessing in our lives, even to the point where you can look back on that situation and say, you know, it was really hard, but I'm so glad I actually went through that, because look at where we are now. Look at how much I've learned. Look at how much better of a person I am. Look how much closer we are as a couple. You know, you guys know Leah Smith and in our group here, and she shared her experience going through an affair. You know, she says it was the best thing that ever happened to her, and that she is grateful that they went through that, even though it was awful, because now their relationship is better and stronger than ever before, even before the affair happened. And so one of the things that my husband and I look at is when you can look back at the memory of the thing, but not feel any like emotional trigger about it, then you know you've actually like forgiven the situation. There's no emotional trigger of hurt or blame or guilt or shame, even things that you did. You can look back on that. And if there's no more emotional trigger, then now you've come to the place of wisdom. You've let that experience help you become a better person. And now you can see the benefit and the good that came from those things. And I know that this is true for even people that have gone through like absolute hell, like abusive situations we're talking about. We all know the stories of, you know, Jews and the concentration camps that came to this place of forgiveness and of peace. And they learned from those experiences, and they can even look back on them with a feeling of almost reverence and gratitude. And so that's what I'm striving to do in my own life. I'm just saying, like being, you know, really transparent here, is that for the things that have been hurtful to me, or the really hard things that have happened, when people have betrayed me, when they've broken my trust, when I've hurt them, I want to be able to be at a place where I can look back on those things and have a feeling of even gratitude about going through them, instead of a feeling of regret and pain and continually holding on to them and continually fixating on them. So I think that's, to me, that's where I want to get to. And that's where Ben and I both want to get to, is this place of, we actually don't forget the past. It's not like we dwell on it or like obsess about all the bad things, but you get to a place of like peace about those things. And then they help you to become an even better person and have an even stronger relationship. So hopefully that is helpful to you and speaks to your soul as well. All right, one last little goodie I wanna give you guys. We understand it's so hard to get communication open. And so we put together a guide on 7 proven conversation starters to help you open up communication. And they tend to work across the board no matter where you're at. But again, we still need to solve problems in order. So if you want the guide, it will give you ideas and ways to get communication open using the principles we talked about of empathy, understanding, and positive regard, okay? So if you want that free guide, I'm gonna give it to you guys. Just leave the word guide in the comments and I will send you our 7 proven conversation starters guide. I want you to go try it out. I want you to use it in your marriage, and I want you to report back, ideally, within the next 24 to 48 hours. And tell me how it went. Our intention is to give you some quick wins and to show you that this will work, that you can interrupt the patterns that you are in, that you can start to learn some new ways of communicating. Is it going to solve everything? No, it's not. Okay. It's just a very little tiny baby step that I want to give you guys. You guys can see some wins. And if you find, okay, I tried that and there's still more, that like it's still not really hitting home, it's still not producing good fruit, it's still not really working with my spouse, that's still a win, because that means there are deeper things that you guys still need to work on, and that one-on-one help with us is really going to help you get there. Okay. So thank you so much for sharing, Mark. Thank you for all of you joining here. We honor you and thank you for working on your marriage and being the ones that are showing up and willing to do some new things to get some new results. It's going to have a profound effect in your life, in your marriage, and for generations to come. You have no idea how many lives are going to be impacted by you choosing to learn how to have healthy communication. It's amazing. So next week, we're going to share with you how to save your marriage without your spouse's involvement. Mm. Your spouse isn't on board. They don't want to work on things. How do you save your marriage on your own without your spouse's involvement? So thank you for joining us today, Mark. Thank you all for joining. And we can't wait to see your marriage thrive.
See you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.